Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 as we will continue our study concerning God's plan for victory. And so Ephesians chapter 6, beginning from verse 10 until verse 17. And so shall we all rise? Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Now, it would be good if we will read this together. Okay, so let's read these verses together, beginning from verse 10. Ready, begin. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Shall we commit this message to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you. Knowing that you have given us everything we need so that we can overcome the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. Lord, I pray that whatever battle we are facing, whatever battle we are experiencing, that we can hold on to your promise, that we can experience, Lord, the victory that you have planned for us. And so, bless your word, dear Father, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all be seated, please. Late one night, there was a man who was walking home, and he decided to take a shortcut through a poorly lit cemetery. And in the darkness, he stumbled and fell into an open grave. Now, he tried to climb out, but the walls were just too slippery for him. So again and again, he tried and fell back into the grave. Finally, in exhaustion, he settled in a corner and said, "I'll just wait for the morning. Hopefully, well, when the sun rises, I'll be able to see my way out." And so as he was waiting there, a few minutes later, another man was cutting through the cemetery and fell victim to the same open grave. He, too, desperately tried to climb and claw his way out, but he was equally unsuccessful. Again, he tried, but he was not able to climb himself out of the open grave. And he was so desperate that he started thinking, how would I be able to climb myself out of the grave? But as he was about to give up, suddenly he heard a voice. Not realizing that there was also somebody who was there with him, he heard this voice telling him, "If I were you, I would give up. You'll never get out of here." And you know, right after hearing that voice, he mustered enough strength and he was able to pull himself out of the grave. You know, of course, he didn't know that there was somebody there with him. But that voice made a difference. And you know, sometimes in our lives, you would hear voices. Voices that would tell you, you're good for nothing. Voice that would tell you, if I were you, I will quit. I will just give up on my marriage. I will give up on my son. Or I will just give up on what I'm doing because I'm simply good for nothing. But you know, I hope that we can be like the second guy, that though the voice he heard was telling him, "If I were you, I'll give up. You won't even get out of this." Instead of believing, he mustered enough strength to be able to get out of the situation where he was. And I think this is something that we need to always remember. Understanding what God has already done for us, we know that though we may go through some challenges in our lives, we would be hearing voices, negative voices, sometimes even voices coming from the people that we believe or people that we trust, telling us that we're not good for anything. I hope that we would always remember that there is a greater voice. There is a greater authority that we should be willing to listen, and that is the voice of God in our lives, telling us that we are victorious, that we can be overcomers, knowing that Jesus Christ has already won the victory or the battle for us. And you know, this is where we're at in our study concerning God's plan for victory, as we are looking at three important parts related or in relation to God's plan for victory. And of course, the first thing is about the mandate. And then we're looking at the second part, which is the method for victory. And then later on, now we will be looking at the measure for victory. But in our second point, the method for victory, we have looked at already the first part, which is, you know, the adversary, knowing that in our battle, whether we like it or not, you know, we will have an adversary, and the adversary would always want us to give up. But God has provided us an armor, and this is where we're at in our study, an armor that we can use, an armor that we can put on so that we can overcome. And in our armor, we have already looked at the two parts of the armor, which is the belt of truth. And last Sunday, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. This morning, we will move to the third one. And in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 6, it says here, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." In some translations, you will see there the shoes of the gospel of peace, or the sandals of the gospel of peace. And I have a picture here of what kind of sandals or shoes they were wearing during their time. You know, today people still wear shoes. And shoes today are more of fashion than of any other reason. And if you are very particular with brands, you won't just buy any shoe without looking at the brand of the shoe. No matter, it doesn't matter whether the shoe is expensive, because you know, some shoes would amount to hundreds of dollars, while some shoes, it's just within your reach. I remember last December, I don't know why it always happens on December. No, I hurt my feet, and I had what they call the plantar fasciitis. And so I had to change my shoes. I was wearing shoes, or I used to wear shoes that would be good to look at. But you know, because of that incident, I have to change shoes. That it's not about the fashion anymore, but it's all about the comfort that my feet would need. Surprisingly, the price is a lot cheaper than the shoes that I was buying before. And if I would look at my shoes today, I would say, this is not the type of shoes that I would like to wear. But what matters to me now, it's not much of the fashion that I need, but of the comfort, the convenience that my feet need in order for me to go about my daily business. And if you go back to our text, it says here, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." I'm not sure if you will know. I have a picture, another picture. Do you know this picture? Do you know what this movie, you know what the movie was using this picture? What's the name of the title of the movie? Forrest Gump. Shown, It was released in 1994 and won 45, if I'm not mistaken, 45 awards. Can you imagine? But what makes this movie related to our text this morning was that, of course, Forrest Gump was always, the most familiar scene in this movie was Forrest Gump sitting on that bench. And at one point, Forrest begins a conversation with the nurse. And after admiring her comfortable shoes for a while, he says, and you would see the next slide in our PowerPoint, there's an awful lot you can tell about a person by their shoes. There's an awful lot you can tell about a person by their shoes. And there was even a statement in addition to that, where they're going and where they have been. And this morning we'll be focusing on the shoes. Or during the time of the Romans, they were using sandals. As I've said, shoes play an important role in their lives. Not just for fashion, but for their protection. And so, not surprisingly, in our passage, the next piece of armor that the Apostle Paul mentioned had something to do with the shoes. And the Roman soldier, if you go back to that picture of the sandal, please. You notice there's a difference? There was something different in the sandals of the Roman soldier. Much like today, when have you ever seen the shoe being used by football players or soccer players, where they have what they call, what do they call that under in their sole? They call it the spikes. During the time of the Romans, the Roman soldier wore sandals. They call their sandals caliga. And sandals were studded heavily with nails in their sole. And these nails were known as hobnails. And they were firmly placed directly through the sole of the shoe for increased durability and stability. And so they were not just placed there for the purpose of just hitting a person or hitting another person. It was placed there so that it would provide not just durability, but also stability. It provides better footing for the battle on the part of the soldier. And you know, just like what I've said, similarly to, just like what we see today among the players, the soccer players and the football players, they also have those thumbnails or spikes now to provide more traction as they play the game. And I think it's very important that when we use it in relation to how the Apostle Paul pictured it in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 15, it is important that as we are facing our battle, that we should be able to place ourselves in a stationary position so that we can stand firm, so that we cannot and we will not be easily knocked off whenever the devil is trying to attack us. Because spiritually speaking, we always have to remember that the devil will always find an opportune time to attack us, so that he can knock us off our feet. As I've said last week, the devil knows that he cannot take away from us our very salvation. But he will try his very best to make our Christian life a miserable life. Have you ever seen a Christian who's living a life of misery? contradictory to how God has designed our life as believers in the Lord. Remember in John chapter 10 where it says that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly or that you might have it to the full. That's not what the devil wants. Before our salvation, Satan will do everything to stop us from hearing the gospel. Satan will do everything to stop us from receiving Jesus Christ. But once you become a believer, his attacks will not stop. He will continue to attack us so that we will not grow strong in our faith. So that we can always look back and say, I miss my old life. This wasn't my life before I became a Christian. I even heard one person said, you know, before I became a Christian, there were my life didn't go through all of these hassles. There were no issues. I would go to church. I would go back. I would go home. And there was nothing. Now that I have become a Christian, I begin to see so many problems. I begin to experience so many issues. Not realizing that Satan can put us in situations so that instead of enjoying our Christian life, that we would be experiencing a miserable life. In fact, somebody has said, Satan cannot keep us out of heaven, but he will try his very best to make your experience hell on earth. He will do everything that you won't be able to enjoy the Christian life. That's why, you know, in the picture about the shoe or the sandals of the gospel of peace, God has provided us this particular so-called hobnails to provide the necessary traction so that we could better endure and be more established in our walk with the Lord. Because time and again, we will encounter demonic attacks. Not from within, but from without. The things that we are experiencing will cause us sometimes to be discouraged to the point that we may even think, I don't think I can continue being a Christian. But this is not how God has designed our life to be. That's why the Word of God says we have in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if I'm going to go back, it says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We need to be strong. But that strength will not come from our own strength. It will come from the strength of the Lord. So that we can stand. It says here, against the devil's schemes. And the devil will do and will put so many different ways in order to stop us not only from growing, but also to stop us from serving the Lord. Because a Christian who is no longer growing will not enjoy a life of serving. Remember that. A Christian who is no longer growing in his faith will not enjoy serving the Lord. Because the only way for us to keep enjoying the service that we are doing for the Lord is if we keep ourselves strong in the strength of the Lord. There will be discouragement. Sometimes there will be conflicts. There are a lot of things that the devil can use. That's why he says here in Ephesians chapter 6:15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now this word readiness, the Greek word for this word readiness in this verse, means preparation, promptness, and speediness. Putting on your shoes or sandals of peace involves making yourself ready to deal with whatever comes your way. You cannot just go into a battle and not be prepared. You cannot just be part of something that we call ministry and not be prepared. It involves more than just your desire. You have to really have the armor with you, knowing that whatever it is that you're going through, you will need the strength of the Lord. That's why it says here, no, that your feet must be fitted with the readiness. We always have to be ready. And that word readiness means you always have to come prepared. When you go to school, sometimes the teacher would do an unannounced quiz. Do you like an unannounced quiz? We don't like that. We want teachers to say, okay, when you come back next or tomorrow, be ready for a quiz. But if suddenly the teacher would say, oh, get a sheet of paper and we'll have a test. And we don't like those unannounced or surprise quizzes. And there was this guy, because he was so excited about the Christmas vacation that he forgot that before the Christmas break, there will be a test first. Because he was so excited, he just wrote on the test paper, Merry Christmas. No, Merry Christmas, I hope you understand. Because he didn't know, he was not ready for the test. And so, when he got the paper, it says in the paper, Happy New Year, zero. You cannot just make, or you cannot just make your way out thinking that, no, I can handle this. Christian life is a real life. It's not a life of fantasy. It's not a perfect life, but it's a beautiful life. But what the Word of God is saying to us is that we need to be ready. If you're going to do something for the Lord, make sure you're ready for whatever that will come your way. It's not just about the Christian life. Anything that we do, if you're going to enter marriage, you need to be ready for it. If you are going to be in a relationship, be ready for it. Somebody even said, don't be in a relationship thinking that it's the responsibility of the other person to always make you happy. That's fantasy. Because we know, for those of us who are married, we know that marriage is not, it's not a perfect life. It's not a problem-free life. There will be days that you won't like each other. Just like, no, but to stay together as husband and wife, I call it a decision. Not the judge decision. It's the decision of both the husband and the wife. Because there will be days that you don't like to talk to each other. There will be days that you just want to kill each other. Literally, you just can't bear things. In fact, there was this guy, they were having coffee. Two men were talking over coffee one day, and one of the guys said, you know, I'm concerned. I'm really concerned about my wife. She talks to herself a lot lately. And the other guy said, you know what? My wife does too. But she doesn't know it because she thinks I'm listening. Sometimes in a marriage, one of you will just keep talking. And one of you... And you just simply don't want to listen. You will just block your ears, your heart, your mind. Okay, keep on talking. Keep on talking. I won't listen. And there will be trying times. There will be difficult times. That's why the Word of God says, be sure that when you put something onto your feet, be sure that you're ready. When you decide to do something, you may call it a ministry or you may call it a career decision. Make sure you're ready for it. And being ready means being prepared. Or sometimes it can also mean being prompt. Or being, the word is being speedy, which means you always have to act on something. And this may be considered as simple things, but sometimes this can also be very difficult. You know, it's also related to another verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says there, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And that's what the Word of God says, be prepared always to give an answer. You know, that word answer, Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, each crisis becomes an opportunity for us to be a witness for the Lord. In fact, that word, that English word, apology, comes from that Greek word where the Word of God used the word answer. And it doesn't mean that you always have to say sorry. You know, you cannot just keep on falling and say, sorry, sorry. It's not just about saying sorry. Rather, it means a defense presented in court. That's where we get the word apologetics. You have heard of the word apologetics. And the word apologetic is the branch of theology that deals with the defense of the faith. And every Christian should be able to give a reasoned defense of his hope in Christ. Because some people would tell you, how can you keep serving in an environment like that? Why are you still in this church? Why are you still in this marriage? Why are you still in this relationship? Has someone even asked you, why are you keeping up with this guy? There are a lot of better guys outside. You know, it's funny that some people who may be asking you those questions are also going through more serious situations in their own lives. That's why the Word of God says, In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, you set apart Christ as Lord and always be prepared. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. And this is the very idea that the Word of God is trying to teach us. Every crisis or each crisis and every situation that we may be going through becomes an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord. People are looking at you in your workplace, in your school, or even in your community. People are looking at you and they're just looking for an opportunity to maybe accuse you or looking for an opportunity to discredit you, especially when you're going through a crisis. But each crisis becomes an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord. And this is where our feet, the sandals of the gospel of peace will play an important role, because it is through our feet that we walk. The connotation of using this particular armor is to help us understand we need to be durable and stable every time we walk. You know, have you ever had an issue with your walking? It's not easy. If you have what we call gout. I remember one person who has this problem said, I just simply want to die, Pastor. Can you imagine gout pa lang yun? I just want to die. Can you imagine other people who may be going through more serious things with their feet, and yet they're able to continue? That's why the Word of God, especially the Apostle Paul, used this particular armor to remind us that we need to be able to endure so that in our walk we would be more established. So that we can be more established as we walk our life as Christians. Because we need to be able to stand firm, because we know that Christian life will sometimes be very difficult. And the situations that God may allow us to experience may not always be favorable. And so if we don't have the belt of truth, if we don't have the breastplate of righteousness, if we don't have the sandals of the gospel of peace, then we might just simply say, I'm done. I'm going to walk away. Instead of walking forward, I'm going to walk away from this. And we have to be very careful that if ever we will decide on doing something, especially if you're saying, I'm going to walk away from this, make sure that that's what God wants you to do. Remember one time I even said, rest is good, but rest in peace is not. To tell you, I'm going to give myself a rest. That's good. Sometimes people would even say, I need a power nap. Power nap, 5 hours. That's not power nap anymore. Power nap can mean 15, 30 minutes so that I can just recover. But when people give up on something, they're just simply saying, I'm just going to rest in peace. I'm done. That's why the Word of God is providing us every particular armor that we can use so that we can withstand. We can withstand the wiles of the enemy. And this is something that is very important, especially whenever we are facing what may be considered as a hopeless situation. A crisis creates the opportunity for witness. This witness must be given with, the Word of God says, with gentleness and respect. Not with arrogance. Or not with a holier-than-thou attitude. As if, no, we know it all. We are to be witnesses for God's kingdom. And we should not be the prosecuting attorneys. We're not even to be the judge. We are to be witnesses. And you know, in a court, in order for you to be a witness, you have to be a direct witness. Or you have to be present, or you have to be there at the time the situation or the crime happened. Which means God is allowing us to go through and experience it firsthand, what it means sometimes to be persecuted, what it means to be discouraged, what it means to be discredited by people. God would allow us to go through all of this, not because He wants to harm us, but He wants to prepare us so that we can be better witnesses for the gospel. And, you know, sometimes the best counselor is a person who had experienced what the person is going through. As the Word of God says, so that we can comfort those who may be going through their own trial, because we ourselves have been comforted. If someone tells you something and you have no idea what this person is talking about, don't even say anything. Because you might end up saying the wrong thing. You might end up saying the wrong thing. That's why it's very important, as we look at our passage this morning, that we have to be ready. Make sure that your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And you know, let me move on to the next part, which is the gospel of peace. You know, of course, we all know this is not the first time that you have heard about the gospel. And the gospel, of course, simply means good news. And so what the Word of God is simply saying is that as we go through our battle, we already carry the good news. That in the end, we know we would come out victorious. And if you have that news already, if you already have that good news with you, it will encourage you more. Don't be deceived in thinking that the outcome will be different. Just like these two persons, they were talking and they were watching a news, and the news says this guy is on top of a building, and they were trying to convince him not to jump or not to commit suicide. And so as they were talking, the other guy said, "I think this guy will jump." And the other guy said, "Oh, no, I don't think so." And so they ended up betting. If you're sure of your answer, let's put a bet. I'll tell you this guy will jump, $20. And so as they were debating, the other guy said, "Okay, I don't think he would." So he placed his $20. The other guy placed his $20. A minute after that, the guy jumped and said, "Oh no." And so as he was about to give the $20, he said, "Oh no, I'm not getting your $20. You know, this is a replay. I already watched this news an hour earlier, and I know that this guy will jump." But the other guy said, "You know, I also watched that." And so, if you also watch this same news, what makes you think that he won't? "I don't think he will do it twice." That's crazy, right? He doesn't believe that this guy will do it twice. And you know what I'm simply saying is this. If you're a believer, you know the end of the story. You know that in the end, we will always be victorious. Why? Because our God has already won the battle for us. At the start of this series, I already said this statement. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Can you imagine? It should be more exciting because you already know the end of the story, knowing that you're already victorious, and yet God wants you to personally experience what it means to be victorious. It's funny, sometimes when we watch the same game and we start talking about, "Oh, last night I watched about the Cleveland and they've been losing. That's bad, you know." And they were saying this and that. And when you watch a game and you were all fan of that particular team and you know your team won, as if you didn't watch it, you were all enjoying how the other person made the shot and this. And you were all enjoying the story, a story that already happened. And spiritually speaking, what God is simply telling us is this. If you already know the end of the story, would that really change the way you handle a situation? You know, sometimes we're poor in translation. Or as they say, as someone would say, sometimes we're lost in translation. We may have experienced something and we have already learned our lesson, and yet when this situation comes again, we still haven't learned our lesson. We just keep on falling, we just keep on failing as if we didn't learn something from our past experience. That's why here the readiness is with this so-called gospel of peace. And you know, at my age right now, I consider peace as a real blessing. For me, peace is very important. I don't know how important peace is to you. Because You might be so overwhelmed with your ambitions that you will do everything, even if it's not going to make you, it will not even cause you to sleep. And I see people, they will work their way in, and they would take as many jobs as they can, even if they know it will affect their health. They will still do it. Why? Because for them, what matters is the money that they will have, instead of thinking of how it's going to affect my health, how it's going to affect my family. Because if you're really serious about really spending a longer healthy life, then you would care about your health. You would begin, you know, creating things that would value the importance of your health, the importance of your life. And instead of just thinking, I can still do this, I'm still young, I'm still able. But this is not what the gospel of peace is all about. As I've said, in life, it seems that today, we would hear the word peace thrown all over the place. In fact, even the popular symbol about peace can be found almost anywhere, and yet peace can mean different things to different people. Maybe to a mother of three, peace is being able to find a rest time while the kids are sleeping. For a people who are located in a place or in a country where there's always war, peace can mean an absence of war. To a busy dad, sometimes peace is being able to watch the sports that he wants. Peace can mean different things to different people. But it's important that when we talk about peace, because the word, the Greek word for peace in the scripture, the same equivalent word, the Hebrew word is shalom, or shalom. And this word peace embodies what is called completeness, wholeness, or an inner resting of the soul that does not fluctuate based on outside influences. That's the kind of peace that God is offering to us. In fact, even Jesus Christ said, I give you peace not as the world gives. The kind of peace that God offers or that Christ offers is not the same kind of peace that the world may seem to be offering. A person who is at peace is someone who is stable, calm, orderly, and at rest within. The opposite of peace is, of course, an inner chaos, anxiety, and worry. Peace doesn't mean an absence of problem. That's not peace. Peace means the calmness in the midst of chaos. Do you have that? Do you experience that? That even though there is chaos around you, there is calmness within you. And that's the kind of peace that God is able to give. A peace that embodies completeness or wholeness, which means, no, you may be at a place or in a situation where you're at right now and you're not even worried about anything. You may still be single and content and say, I'm sure this is where God wants me now. You may be at a particular work. Maybe that work is not something you have ambition, and yet within you there is calmness. I know this is just a preparation of God for something coming that is better for me. That's the kind of peace. A peace that can experience the calmness. A peace that can experience the rest within us against the chaos that may be happening around you. You know, we are living in a time where a lot of people are simply worried about things. Because there's no such thing as just being completely secured in this world. I've said this many times, that even your job is not even secured. Your health is not even secured. But the life that God has offered you, the life that God is able to offer us as believers in Jesus Christ, is completely secured. Because the guarantee of the eternal life that God has promised us does not end at the end of our physical life. In fact, it only begins at the end of our physical life. That is why it's important that when we talk about the gospel of peace, for us as believers, it should always provide the good news that we need. Peace doesn't refer to an inner calm when all around you is calm, or when you are surrounded by tranquility, you are supposed to be calm. When you experience godly peace, you are at rest even when everything else around you is just chaos. And I think only a true believer in Christ can experience that. Because we can be easily affected by the circumstances around us. We can be easily affected by the noise around us. But a person who understands the peace that comes from God know that this kind of peace can provide you not only the rest, but the calmness even when you are in the midst of chaos. And you know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it reads, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There is what we call the peace of God. Now, and this may not be the first time that you have heard about it, but the Word of God talks about two kinds of peace. There is the peace with God, which means if you have already put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been given the peace with God. It's a result of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And we all have that peace. But at the same time, we have what we call the peace of God. And the peace of God does not mean the absence of trials or the absence of danger, but it means, no, it means having that quiet confidence within, regardless of the circumstances around you, or regardless of the people, or regardless of things around you, you are able to experience the peace of God. And that's the beauty of the peace that God is able to give. The peace that, according to the Apostle Paul, the peace that transcends all understanding. You know, one Bible commentator defines the transcending part as, you know, the kind of peace that goes beyond, or it reaches beyond what we can comprehend. That sometimes even we can't understand. How can I be at peace? If you have lost a job and still be able to say, it's okay. It's not normal. It's not normal for a person to say, I lost my job. Thank you, Lord. Because if you are a person who has a family and you lose a job, you will definitely worry. What will happen to my kids? How will I be able to raise my kids? How will I be able to send them to school? But when you have the peace of God, God will give you that quiet confidence within you, assuring you, you have nothing to worry. I got you covered. It's a different kind of peace. It transcends. Or another meaning for the word transcends, it's just flowing over. Now, you will have a hard time comprehending it because it goes beyond human comprehension. And not only that it will transcend, it says here that it will also guard your heart. You know, the word guard here, it's a military term which means to protect or garrison by guarding. That's the idea of the word guard. That when the peace of God is, When you experience the peace of God, it will garrison you. It will provide you. You know, it's beautiful when the Apostle Paul used that. Because if you remember, if you understand how Paul used that, especially in the book of Philippians, Paul was imprisoned. Paul was imprisoned, and he was not just ordinary prison. Paul was chained to a Roman guard day and night. That was the situation of Paul. He was not just in the prison, but he was chained to a Roman soldier guarding him day and night. And he used that, in like manner, he said, the peace of God stands guard over you day and night. And it stands over you, he says here, to guard the two most sensitive parts of your life, the heart and the mind. Can you imagine that? If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, your heart and mind are always wandering. You will easily worry. You will easily be discouraged. You know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're experiencing, some people might call it attacks, you have to hold on to the peace of God. Because if you're a true believer, you can withstand. This can be a medical condition, but you know, God can always help us when we are in trouble. Have you ever had a sleepless night that suddenly God would wake you up in the middle of the night? I have had that. Now, that you're just simply worrying over something and you will just wake up in the middle of the night and you feel worried, you feel anxious, you don't know what to do. You know what's the best thing to do when you have that? You follow what the Word of God says in Philippians 4:6. Because in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says here, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so when you are experiencing a sleepless night, when you are experiencing an anxiety attack, and you don't know what to do, God has provided a solution. He said, instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, the Word of God said, pray. Because when you pray, the result of praying is the peace of God. You cannot be at peace. You cannot have the peace of God if you're not even praying. If you're entertaining all the fears and all the worries, you will never experience the peace of God. The peace of God comes as a result of praying and committing your anxiety to God. I'm sure all of us have anxieties. We all have worries. But you know, I have learned in my Christian life that every time I'm having the worry attack, that I come to the Lord and pray. On those sleepless nights that I would experience, I would sit down and pray. Sometimes my wife would see me sitting on the bed and she would ask me, is there something wrong? Are you sick? I'll just simply, no, I'm praying. At the middle of the night, God has a reason sometimes that God will wake you up even in the middle of the night, not to harm you, or not to create all these worries in you. Maybe God has something that He wants you to do. Maybe God would even place a person in your mind, and all you can do is to pray for that person. Or if you're worried about a situation, and sometimes the problem with worry is this, 92% of the things we worry don't happen. That's based on a study that of the things that we worry, only 8% actually happen. The 92% don't. Can you imagine how you have wasted your time worrying over something that won't even happen? So instead of worrying, you might find that's how simple it is, Pastor. Yes. But the question is, do we practice the simple plan that God has provided. This is the God. This is the good news of peace. That first of all, if you're a believer, you have peace with God. You can read that in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. In fact, in Ephesians 2:14, it says there, Jesus Christ will be your very peace. He is our peace. That's why because you have Christ, you have peace with God. And because you have Christ, you can also have the peace of God. And this is something that we as Christians, because most of the time the devil is going to attack our mind. He will attack your mind, he will attack your heart. And God said, when you pray, he will garrison the heart and the mind in Christ Jesus. And you know, as I've said, it's a military term. It's not a sports term. It's not an athletic. It's a military term. Which means, in the same way that Paul was chained to a guard 24 hours, God's protection is upon us 24 hours. You know, if you're a parent, you worry about a lot of things. You worry first and foremost about your kids. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because if you're a parent, you always worry about your kids. Where they are, what's going to happen to them, will they make it in this life, will they be able to finish study, will they make good in their work. That's why we can always guard them. Not by our presence. Not by texting, where are you? Do you know what time is it? What time are you coming home? I was once like that. When Mark was still single, until he reaches home, I would not sleep. And I forgot that I was even worse than him when I was single. But there would be nights that I would be so worried that I would not stop texting him. And my son, you know, my son doesn't understand sometimes that I'm worried. I have keys. You can sleep. You know? And I said, no, I want to see you safe. I won't sleep. I said, Dad, what's wrong with you? I have keys. I have car. I'm safe. And you know, That's when he was just maybe in his, he was 16, 17, and 18. But later on, instead of worrying about his whereabouts, instead of worrying about his safety, I have learned to commit him to the Lord in prayer. That I didn't even realize he was already home. But I would just wake up in the morning and I would just look into, oh, he's there. It will give you so much peace when you just commit things to the Lord in prayer. And if we will all be honest, I'm sure there is something that you worry about. And the Word of God says, instead of worrying, don't be anxious about anything. You may not be the one worrying, but you're worrying about someone. You may be worrying about something. God has provided a plan that instead of worrying, he said, I'm going to guard you. I'm going to guard your heart and your mind. And how does that happen? How do you experience that? Through prayer. Just pray for your kids. Pray for their future. Pray for their life partner. Pray for their work. We, as parents, we will not always be there for our kids 24 hours. But our prayers will follow them all the rest of their lives. I'm sure that there are situations in your life or in the lives of your kids that you are not in favor of. You don't like what you are seeing. You're not happy with what is happening. What will you do? you pray. And ask the Lord, this is beyond my control. I'm committing my son to you. I'm committing my daughter to you. Lord, protect the heart of my daughter. No, she will experience being brokenhearted. He will experience being persecuted. Our kids, our lives will go through all the realities of life. But what do? We text. No, not we text. We pray. Because no matter how tough you think you are, there is someone who is greater than you, who can protect your kids, who can bless your kids. I know all these things because I'm a parent too. Sometimes as a parent, I want to give all my money. You want something? It's yours. But I realize that the joy of my son will not just depend on the money that I give. It depends on the God to whom I entrust him to. You know, the hardest part is letting go. It's always hard to let go. If you're a parent, no matter how old your child is, you still want to see the picture of the baby. But sometimes in life, you have to learn how to let go. Because in the letting go, you're actually trusting the Lord. You're actually saying, Lord, this is no longer my responsibility. This is now beyond my command. This is now under your command. You know, there is peace that goes beyond our understanding. Peace that will guard our hearts and our minds. Why? Because the real peace of God protects. This is the peace that guards God's people, even though you may lose your job. No, we hate those days that you will just be informed. You're already out. But instead of worrying, instead of having bitterness, take it as God's preparation. Take it as God's preparation for you. Because that's where you will begin to experience the peace. The peace that will guard you. The peace that will produce praise. Even when there's not enough money in your bank account. Peace that will restore hope in the face of failing health. Peace that will tell you, I'm going to cover you night and day. And you know, it's important because this is good news for us. Can you imagine that? That's the gospel of peace. And it is my prayer that every attack that the devil will put into your life, that you need to put on your sandals of the gospel of peace. That instead of running away, instead of walking away, you stand firm, the Bible says. That's the purpose of the hobnails. Stand firm and commit everything to the Lord. You know, I like this beautiful story, and I'll end with this one. There was a young boy who was a passenger flying on an airplane. And all of a sudden, they went through a very terrible storm. The turbulence was causing all the passengers to panic. However, someone saw a young boy playing with his toy as if he was not affected by everything that was happening around him. And so the passenger asked, boy, aren't you afraid? Can't you feel what is happening on the plane? Aren't you afraid? He simply said, no, I'm not. And so the other person, why not? My father is the pilot. I know. We can land safely. And you know, this is just as simple as it is. You might think, that's it, Pastor? Yes. You may be going through turbulence in your life, in your situation, with your children. Don't panic. Simply pray. Simply pray. Commit your situation to the Lord. Commit your children to the Lord. Because for us, that's the gospel of peace. And the Word of God says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. My question for us this morning is this. Do you have that peace? Or are you just troubled about something in your life? It may not be about you. It may be something that is important to you. It may be your daughter. It may be your son. It may be a person that you dearly love. The Word of God says, don't panic. Just pray, because the peace of God will guard you. Let's pray.